Good morning. My name is Arturo, and this is a morning meditation podcast. Today's meditation is called Limits, about the limits of the human body. I'm going to talk a little bit about other types of limits as well, but we start with the body. What are the limitations of the body? Our reach, our height, our age, our ability, all of these are limited. You're limited in your age. When you're a child, there's certain things you can't do. There are certain things that are not available to you. And then there's certain things that are available to you. Kiddie rides and kid meals are only available up to a certain height, a certain age. But also there are restrictions on movies, on vices, on weapons and driving. There's all kinds of limitations according to your age. There's limitations on your ability and what you can do. When you're young, when you're small, you're supposed to be growing. And the Bible talks about this quite a bit. There's two places in particular, one in the Old Testament and one in the New, when it talks about somebody who was growing and how they grow. And I think this is very helpful. In the book of Samuel, it talks about Samuel when he was a child and when he was given over into the service of the Lord. In chapter 2, verse 26, it says that he grew in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and man. That's what growth is, and that's what growth is supposed to be. And Samuel was growing in that way. The interesting thing is that in the New Testament, in the book of Luke, in chapter 2, verse 52, it says the same thing about Jesus. It says he grew in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and men. So Jesus took on the limitations of our bodies, and that he had to grow physically. He had to grow in favor with God and men. And it says he grew in wisdom. Interesting, because what I believe is that Jesus is the second person of the Trinity. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but he purposefully limited himself in that he was God, but he was also a man. And a man is who grows in wisdom, in stature, and in favor. See, God the Father doesn't have to do that, but Jesus submitted himself to that. One of the things that that does is that sanctifies our bodies. It sanctifies the idea of us living in a body. We might feel dirty. We might feel small. We might feel insignificant. But the idea, the thought, the reality that God himself took on a body like ours, a body that sweats and gets tired, a body that needs sleep and food and water and all of these other things, that makes us sanctified. I was going to say holy, but he's holy. We can become holy if we are set apart for the Lord. But the limitations of our bodies are many. There's a couple of ways to look at it. One of the things I've been writing about is called Kid World. And it's about the difference between a father and a son. Now, this picture that I have is specifically of that. A man with his little boy, you know, a young child. And playtime. Because as a father, I've done plenty of those things. But what I noticed and I thought about and meditated on is the fact that the father is bigger and stronger and wiser, and he should be. The child is smaller and less wise and not as strong. So something interesting happens during playtime in that the father comes down to the son's level. The man comes down to the level of the child, and that's possible. But it's not possible for the child to come up to the level of the parent, of the father. Because growth has to take place. See, the dad can get down on the ground. He can roll around. He can crawl. He can kneel. He can squat. He can do all these things to come down to the level of the child. If the child's going to come up to the level of the father, let's say the father is 6 foot tall and the child is, you know, 2 or 3 years old, then the father can lift him up to his level, up to the 6 foot level. He can put him eye to eye with himself. But the child cannot get up there on his own. He needs help. He's going to need a ladder, or he's going to need someone to pick him up. Why? Because he's limited. Because he's not yet reached that level. He may be taller than his dad one day, but at this point, he's small. The same thing happens in wisdom. The child cannot see the world as the father sees it. The father sees the burdens of the world. The father sees the troubles of the world. He sees danger when it's coming. He sees lots of things that the kid doesn't see because he has experience. And wisdom comes with experience. And children act like their parents. That's part of growing up. They play house. They play accountants. They play, you know, carpenter. Whatever their parents do, whatever they see, they emulate. It's a normal part of growing up. Because eventually they're going to fill those kinds of roles. They're going to be adults and they're going to have to speak like a parent. When you play school, the child plays the teacher, doesn't play the student. The preferred position is the child that gets to play teacher when kids are playing school. Because to act like an adult is a privileged position, and you get there by growth, by wisdom, and by moving forward in time. Time is the greatest limiter that there is. A child cannot be an adult until he lives through the time that it takes to become an adult. The other limitation of time is that the parent and the adult cannot go back in time to become a child again. Now, getting back to the playtime thing, the adult, the father, can act silly. He can act foolish. The Bible says that folly is bound up in the heart of a child. But the parent, the father, can act silly. He can play folly. The child can play adult, but he cannot be adult. Not until he waits, not until he grows. And I feel like I'm beating this to death, so we're going to move on. In thinking about this, excuse me, I thought about the idea of the father being up and the child being down, and how the father comes down, but the child doesn't come up without help. And I love pop culture, and this morning I thought about Jerry Seinfeld. He did a bit about kids, and he said that kids were down and parents were up. Kids were up and parents were down, and it was a wordplay. The kid said, "Hold up, wait up, come on, mom, I'll clean up, please let me stay up." And then he followed that with the idea that for parents, everything is down. Calm down, sit down, quiet down. And he was right. There's a difference in position, there's a difference in stature. And again, the greatest limit that we have is time. And it's very interesting too, because we move forward in time. We cannot move back, but we can look back in time. We can't look forward in time. We can make plans. We can hope. We can desire. We can listen to prophecies that have been given to us. You have to trust the source that they come from, but we cannot clearly see when we look forward. We can clearly see when we look back somewhat. Our memories aren't perfect, but time is one of the limits. It's considered one of the dimensions of our existence. We have height, length, width, but we also have time. But time, according to Chuck Missler, he has quite a bit to say about this. He says that time is only a half dimension because it's only available to us in one direction. God is greater than us. He's beyond time, and he can go forward and backwards in time. But we, because we're in a body, are limited to moving forward in time. We can only move forward. We can only look back. Very interesting stuff. So, what are the other limits of living in a body? One of the things that we have to face is self-imposed limits. Now, self-imposed limits can be positive or negative. The negative way of imposing limits on yourself is to think too little of yourself, to focus too much on negativity or on fear.
on a negative self-image. If we think too little of ourselves, if we keep on doubting ourselves or putting ourselves down or seeing the most negative aspects of self and meditating on that. Now, everybody has negative aspects to themselves, but we shouldn't focus on them too much. We shouldn't meditate on the negative things. We make ourselves small and we limit our potential. We limit our output. We limit our creativity. All of these things are affected by what we think of ourselves. And you can actually impose a negative limit on yourself by not seeing the beauty that God put in you, not seeing the redemption that He's given to you, by not understanding that you have potential beyond where you are and what you're doing. We're supposed to be people of vision. But there's also a way that you can put limits on yourself that's positive. The word for that is called focus. Now, there's three different ways that I've been meditating on that this happens. There's three different aspects of life that can be affected by that. One is career, the other is artistry, and the third would be relationships or love. So in your career, if you limit yourself highly, if you limit yourself in a very strong way, then it's called specialization, meaning for somebody, they could be a doctor. That's a very general thing, you know. You can be a general practitioner or you can be specialized. And the more specialized you are, the more beneficial it is. And career-wise, that looks like financial gain. A highly specialized doctor has the ability to gain more financially than does a general practitioner, just because of the nature of what they're doing. You have to focus a lot more. You have to be intense about the thing that you're doing because you have so specialized and so focused your area of expertise that you actually become very, very valuable. And the same thing can be happening in creativity or artistry. What you do is you limit the materials that you use, that you limit the style that you do. You know, you can be an artist or a painter, or you can be a 18th century black and white Victorian portrait artist. So what's the difference there? It's specialization. That is a very, very specialized type of artwork. You have limited yourself to the style that you're using. You limited yourself by the color. You limited yourself to the subject matter. You have imposed limits on yourself and specialized highly in your creativity. Now, what does that do to you? It forces you to be creative, more creative. It forces you, as you have placed strong boundaries around yourself, inside of yourself, you have to release something. You release that creativity. In the same way in specializing in business, you release this ability in that you focus intensely on one thing, then you have to be better. You have to grow. You have to increase and improve. And you have to be very focused on what you're doing. The third way that I mentioned was relationships or love. And it's something that I talk about all the time. It's marriage. In marriage, you limit yourself to one person. If you don't do that, there's lots of different ways of living your life. And some people will go out and live a life where they spread themselves out a lot. They look for lots of people to date, lots of lovers to have. And that limits you internally. But if you limit yourself purposefully to one person, then that forces you to grow. Ask any person who's been married for many decades, 20, 30, 40 years or more. They will tell you the fact that you've limited yourself to one person and forced yourself to maintain a relationship with one other person in the world, to give yourself fully to that person, to accept them completely, It's a big constraint that you've put on yourself, but it forces you to become a better person. That's part of the purpose of marriage, and I don't think enough people talk about it, that it's a personal growth exercise. By limiting yourself to only one person with whom you will be completely bare, with whom you will be completely open. That's what it means in the book of Genesis when it talks about Adam and Eve. They were naked and felt no shame, meaning to do that, they had to be completely open with each other. Their relationship had to be completely open. They had to expose everything about themselves. And I'm not just talking about physically. I'm talking about mentally and emotionally. I'm talking about who you are as a person. If you put this constraint on yourself, you must grow in order to maintain that type of relationship. So there are self-imposed limits that can go either way. You're going to face limits in life one way or another, but if you choose the limits that you're going to live with, they can actually open up something inside of you that makes you more valuable, more creative, and grow with what they call personal growth in your thinking, in your emotional intelligence, and in your ability to relate to people. This is the Morning Meditation Podcast. Thank you for listening.